As your eyes move over Ratsona refugee camp in Greece, little bits of blue from plastic tarp begin to catch your eye, small bits of brown from plywood. That little bit of color breaks up the starkness of the gray concrete and black asphalt of the former airport turned refugee camp. Some families live indoors in homes made of sheets strung over wires. Others live in plywood boxes, one room on the outside. Amid those stark conditions, little pops of joy might catch your eye, a chalk drawing from a child, some youth playing soccer. Boredom rules the day. Very few children go to school. There's no jobs. And since the European Union has shut its borders, these largely Syrian, Iraqi, and Afghani refugees are in limbo. There's no moving forward for them, at least for now. There's no moving backward either. The places they left are places they don't wish to return to. So given these sort of conditions, no one could blame these displaced peoples if they closed up. Their homeland was ruined. They gave up everything they had. They survived a dangerous trip across the Mediterranean. And after all of that, now they languish. They languish in boredom, without a purpose, in Ratsona camp in Greece. Once these displaced people have reached a new country, the life jacket that they wore across the Mediterranean has no more purpose. But it does have a symbolic purpose or symbolic use. Seeing that jacket can serve as a painful reminder of why you had to flee in the first place. It may serve as a symbolic and painful reminder of your harrowing journey to get from a place of war across the Mediterranean to the camp. So that life jacket could ultimately become more like your straitjacket, something that closes you in, keeps your painful past wrapped all around you. It can contribute to reminding you that you are a refugee in a new location, a new location that is not yet your home. So in an effort to bring some hope and a livelihood to some of the women in the camp, two American women who had previously been named CNN heroines for their previous charity work, together they created a new charity called the Welcome Project. The Welcome Project employs refugee women at the camp to weave. What they do is they take those life jackets and they cut them apart into strips of cloth. They then take that cloth and weave them into welcome mats. If you were wondering, why the heck does Joel have a rug as our image? This is one of the welcome mats that the refugee women at the camp wove out of their life jackets. The welcome mats are sold in the U.S., so as we purchase them, they then become symbols for us of acceptance and solidarity with refugees. If this is of interest to you, the charity that sells the welcome mats is called Thistle Farms. You can find it online, Thistle Farms. The welcome mats go for $80. So through this project, the Welcome Project, a painful symbol, that life jacket, that symbolizes your refugee status, one with the potential to constrain, to close in, is transformed. It's transformed into a welcome mat. What if people had welcome mats? What if we made our own welcome mat out of things that were painful to us? Out of something that was holding us back? Or closing us in. The sorts of things that make our world smaller. Now, what if we took that thing that was closing us in, shrinking our world, and instead we wove it into a mat, just as these women have? There are, of course, great reasons sometimes for closing ourselves off. Sometimes we genuinely need to protect ourselves from something. We may need time to heal or escape some stress. A struggle with our mental health may make it difficult for some of us sometimes to control closing off. But closing up for necessity, for one of the reasons I just named, can become bad for us if we do it for too long, particularly if that length of time outlasts the threat or the pain, and then we just are doing it. So something that might begin as a life jacket, a technique to cope, to survive, could become our straitjacket if we let it. Something that then begins to bind us and outlives its purpose, just as those life jackets outlive their purpose for these refugee women. Therapist Joanna Warwick writes that closing ourselves up is an effort to control the relationships in our lives. But that control is an illusion. We can never control others or all the variables of our life. Control will not prevent pain, does not prevent heartache. What we can do is exacerbate our fear of pain as we attempt to control. Closing up reduces the size of our world. When we're closed, we retreat inward. We move further from others. As we close up, we begin to radiate outward to the world that we do not want relationship with you. So where we previously had relationships, some of those avenues of relationship begin to shut down. And the potential for new relationships is shut down with it. What we're effectively doing is rolling out an unwelcome mat, letting the world know we don't want to engage with you. The antidote to being closed is clearly being open. Yet, like many things in life, it's a very easy thing to say, but a more difficult thing to do. I offer two images for us all to consider about how we may be more open to the world. The first image comes from Zen authority Suzuki Roshi. Roshi suggests that we be like the sky. The sky does have substance, water vapor, dust, pollen, and so forth. Yet it's huge. The sky is huge. It's open, mostly open, even though it has substance. And that openness allows other things to enter, and those things can enter from both directions. So from the top, the openness of the sky allows sunlight to penetrate, and with it brings heat and light. From the other direction, the sky enables plants and trees to grow upward into it. Even human beings can pass through the sky on forms of technology like skies and rockets. And it is the sky's openness that allows all these things to enter. And that openness brings life to the planet. The second image from author Shasta Nelson. She invites us to be open hands. Open hands can serve as a landing pad for goodness and gifts. Those open hands, however, can also serve as a launching pad for past rejections, fears, and losses. So, like an airport, our open hands can enable both arrivals and departures. Open hands can symbolize our freedom and our letting go of control. We can't control when goodness or gifts may arrive, nor do we control how long they may stay. If we grip it tightly, we could even end up ruining the gift, like melted chocolate dripping between your fingers. The order of service has a quote from Tashin Tishumari that illustrates this as well. So in the quote, he says, "With open hands, all the sands of the desert can pass through, leading to limitless experiences. If, however, we close our hand as the sand is passing through, all we feel is a bit of grit. We don't get to experience the desert. Our experience is limited to that little bit we've managed to capture, which is not much at all." And additionally, when we close our hands, we remove the opportunity for new gifts to arrive. I cannot reach for a new gift as I'm holding on to the old. So paradoxically, the very gesture of trying to keep one thing is the very gesture that prevents the next good thing from landing. Open hands remind us to live fully, to seek moments to cherish and love, to refuse to let fears and losses of the past to close us up. Open hands remind us we are all worthy of the universe's gifts. Open hands remind us to engage the world, to hope, to cherish. They teach us that there are times to let go, to unclench that fist, and to open up again. So both of these images, that of the open sky and of open hands, what both of them suggest to us is that openness is a choice. So join with me, if you will, in making a closed hand and hold it for a moment. Okay, now release it and return to an open hand. Took a whole lot more effort to make a closed hand, did it not, than to just allow an open hand to be. And we weren't even putting strong emotion behind that. Put some anger in that, right? Put some stress in that, some anxiety in that. Right? And obviously the amount of energy it takes to keep that fist closed becomes amplified the more we amplify the emotion behind it. So not only are we making a choice in being open, but we're also making a healthy choice. And if we have a choice, that also means that we have freedom and we have power. We have the freedom and the power to create a stance of openness and to liberate ourselves from those things that make us closed. We don't have to allow them to keep us closed. To aid us all in our process of opening, here are three ways that we can all challenge ourselves in becoming more open. First, grow our relationships. We could get to know someone we currently do not, participate in a new club, reestablish a relationship we've lost with someone we've lost contact with. There are very few of us, myself included, who could not benefit from opening ourselves up to additional relationships. I think we all are wise enough to realize, and we've seen it and we've witnessed it, that a robust social world leads to generally happy and healthy people. Second, we can challenge ourselves to say yes. So choose an amount of time, a week, a month, and then say yes all the time. Whatever it is, say yes. Now, if saying yes 100% of the time sounds too scary, and like maybe you'll end up in a situation you'll later regret, you could soften the challenge. So you could say, I'm going to say yes more often than not. Right? That could be one way. Or you could set a number, say, this month I'm going to say yes 25 times. Right? So we could set a challenge like that to saying yes. Saying yes puts us in a better position for new opportunities. And people who have completed these saying yes challenges say that it made them far more agreeable and optimistic. Thirdly, we can dare ourselves to try something new, perhaps even something we find intimidating or scary. Yes, I know it's a cliche. Why is it a cliche? It works, right? That's why it's a cliche. When we try new things, it builds confidence. It reduces our fear. It opens us up for new experiences. So in terms of challenging ourselves to try something new, you could create a challenge similar to the saying yes challenge. So you could set a goal. I'm going to try something new every day for a month, for instance. Or set an overall number. I'm going to do 20 new things, however long it takes me to get to 20. Right, I'll do 20 new things. If you're running low on some ideas, the September Unigram has suggestions on lots of new things you can try. There were a number of websites there, right, with lots of ideas. I also get the sense that there are lots of new things around church you could do, right? So there are plenty of people you can talk to about that. So friends, please keep these three techniques in mind as we enter a new week. Remember that being open is a transformation, and it's a transformation we can choose. Each of us can let our our life jacket become a straitjacket and make us closed if we allow it. Or we can take that life jacket and transform it into our welcome mat and embrace openness. When we transform it into a welcome mat, it opens our world to opportunity, to the gifts of life, to the invitation of others. So may we be like the sky. May we be like open hands. So be it, and so may it be.